Good morning.
Yeah.
It must probably disappoint when you take a look at the sheets that you have in front of you, they look intimidating. And they are intimidating. But I think that you've reached the point where we're capable of studying classic seminal texts. And here's a Ramban at the end of Parashat Bo that needs a great deal of thought and consideration, and it may even assist us in some way getting through difficult times. I'm not even sure that we will be able to complete the topic of this year today. I'm not sure. It may have to go into another year, but that's okay because it's all related, in fact, not only specifically to Parashiyot Bo and B'Shalach or Shemot, Ba'erev Bo B'Shalach, it's really all of Sefer Shemot, and in a certain sense you're going to see a major part of Torah. Talking about the Ramban at the very end of this week's set. And I'm going to start at the beginning. If I choose to skip, you'll just follow me according to the line numbers that are so conveniently placed for you. V'ato omer lecha klal v'tam mitzvot kavod. I'm going to give you a rule with regard to many mitzvot. He's going to explain the reason behind many mitzvot. We always want to know reasons behind mitzvot. And here it says, I'm going to give you a rule that explains many mitzvot. Hine. Behold, me'eit hayot avodat gilulim ba'olam, from the time that there was idolatry in the world, we may Enosh, in the days of Enosh. You will recall earlier in the year, we discussed the Rambam, who describes the beginnings of idolatry on the face of this earth, and it began at the time of Enosh. Echelu hadeyot lishtabesh ve'emunah. People's ideas of faith started becoming wrong, started going off the track. Mehem, there were all a wide variety of forms of non-belief. Mehem kofrim b'ikar. There were those who rejected the most fundamental principle of all, which is that there is no God, a creator. They said, Olam Kadmon means the world was always here. There was no act of Bria. There was no act of creation. It's not something that was brought into being at a particular moment in time. Ki Chashu B'Hashem. They denied God by Yom, and they said, Lohu, he does not exist. Umehem. Then there were others who were not as much rejecting, because they did believe in the existence of God. But they rejected the idea that he knows everything that takes place on the face of this earth. And they said, how does God know? God knows everything. For that matter, is he really so terribly interested in knowing everything? Umehem, sheyodu biyidia umakhishim b'hashgacha. There's a further step. A person who believes that God exists, he also believes that God knows everything. Now the question is, does God do anything about that knowledge? Is there divine providence? Does he become involved in what takes place on the face of this earth? So there are those who reject the idea of Hashgacha, God's divine providence. And therefore it means, though God exists and though he knows, V'yasu adam kidigei hayam. Man, God leaves them like the fish in the sea. The Ramban very often uses Pesukim from Tamar. And here is a pasuk from Habakkuk, where when Habakkuk wants to describe lawlessness or the survival of the fittest, man swallowing up man, the stronger prevails, violence of the world. So he uses the term, man has become like the fish of the sea. It's always the bigger one swallows the smaller one. So Yosgiah HaKel Behem, that God does not, is not concerned with what happened. Vein Yohan Onesh Oschar, there is no punishment, there is no reward. Yomru, this third group says, Ozar Hashem et Haaretz, God has simply forsaken the land he left. He created it. He knows what's going on over here, but he doesn't want to get involved. Hester Panin can only be used about people who believe in God and believe he knows and he is involved, but there are moments at which he, not only by choice, but as a result of punishment, the Hester Panin, God concealing himself, is in and of itself Hashgacha Chatas. It's a decision of the Divine Providence. Kasher Yitzeh Elokim Ve'edau V'yachin V'yaseh Lohem Mofeh V'shimhuy Min Hakosh Al Olam V'tivau Yidvarei Lakol V'tul Hateyot Ha'elokulam. Now I'm not making the following statement. What happens when we're going to see clearly that God makes miracles to an individual or to a community in one single stroke? The miracle that speaks clearly, shouts from the rooftops that there is a God. But a miracle not only tells us that there is a God, it tells us that he knows and he is involved. In one fell swoop, one stroke, miracles are capable of dispelling all of these doubts. Ki hamofet hanifla, because the sign that is absolutely miraculous, mohe, that comes to teach us. Now there are going to be a number of concepts that are going to be repeated a number of times. The unusual miracle teaches shiyesh la'olam elokav, that there is a God mechadsho who brought it into being, v'yodeya, and he knows what's happening, u'mashgiach, and he is, his divine providence is here, v'yachol, and he has the ability. In these four words, the Ramban has summed up our belief in God. That there is the world has mechadish, a God who is mechadsho, who has created it, something, a new creation brought into being, v'yodeya, and he knows everything that takes place on the face of this earth, u'mashgiach, and he is involved, v'yachol, and he has the ability to move in upon history and intervene at any time that he chooses. The kasher, now there's one further step. What happened is this sign and this miracle and this exceptional unnatural occurrence is going to take place following a prophet who has said it's going to happen. Or then we learn something else. We learn as well that God communicates with man. God communicates with man. He doesn't simply know and get involved and is capable of doing, but he communicates. There are lines of communication that are open between God and man. Ramban says, when that miracle is clearly stated from the mouth of a Navi in advance, there also becomes clear that prophecy is true. God speaks to man. He reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. When we reach that point, point number five, then Torah has a future, all of Torah has a future forever. Once you know that there's a God, brought the world into being, he knows, he intervenes, he is capable, and he communicates. Once you have that, all of the foundations, all that you need, all the building blocks that are necessary, in order to maintain, sustain this great edifice called Yahadut, everything is in place. ולכן יאמר הכתוב במופתים, here we come to a point at which we are picking up on last week's share. During the course of last week's share, we were trying to explain, why does God have to teach Paro? Why does Paro have to know that he exists? So the Shem Yishmuel said, it's not so much that Paro needs to know, but by virtue of Paro knowing, it's going to strengthen the knowledge of the Jewish people. It's for us there. He's going to bring a number of the psukim that we talked about last week. And he says, V'lachen yomar ha-katuv v'amoftim, therefore, the Pasuk says about the miracles, L'man teita, ki ani Hashem v'kerev oretz, in order that you should know that I am God in the midst of the land. L'horot al ha-hashgachah, that comes to tell us that there's divine providence. God hasn't simply removed himself from the world. He is God in the midst of the earth, divine providence. He hasn't simply left the world to happenstance and circumstance, as there are those who believe. And then, for Amar, there's another pasuk in Parshat Vayirah, L'man teda ki la Hashem haaretz, you should know that the earth belongs to God. L'horot v'achidush. It belongs to him means he made it. He brought it into being. It wasn't always here. Chidush, a new world created by God. Ki hem shelo, why is the world his? Shevira'on, made ayin, because he created the world from absolute nothing. Kriatio ex nihilo. You want to impress somebody, you know three words in Latin. Those are that. Kriatio ex nihilo. Creation out of nothing. In Hebrew it's simpler. Yes, may I. And then there's a third pasuk that says, "Baravur tevarki in kavoni bechol earth," so that you should know that there is none like me in all of the earth. You know what that comes to tell us? That he has unlimited ability. He can do. Shehu shalit bakol, because he rules over everything. There's nobody who can stand in his way. Ein ma'akev biado, nobody can stop him. Keep a kozer, hoyu ha-mitzvim, makhishim kula. In all of these ideas, the mitzvim, the Egyptians, rejected it all. And Klal Yisrael has to learn the whole process of the Makos, and we've talked about this over the years, it's a long time ago. The process of the Makos were not simply a form of torture. It was an educational experience. I dare say it was a bit of a painful educational experience, but one nonetheless. In Cain, Ha'otot v'hamoftim ha'gdolim, Eidim ne'emanim, the great signs and miracles are trustworthy witnesses, ve'emunat ha'porei, to believe in the Creator, u'v'torah kulan, the whole Torah. So now, the Ramban, very famous. Every part of this Ramban is famous. By the time we're finished, it'll be so famous. We have no idea. I'm sorry. He says, why doesn't God make miracles throughout all of history? Every so often, there are a few of the Shoyim around. You know what we would love? We would love for God, all of a sudden, the heavens split, and you hear God thundering from the very heavens, and he brings miracles and signs. Why doesn't he do it? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh ot mofei b'chol dor le'inei kol rasha. God is not going to make signs or miracles in every generation for every two-bit garden variety in Russia who turns heavenward and says, I don't believe you, and I come from Missouri. Prove it to me. Seeing is believing. So the relation is going to respond to every one of these gods, or Koker, or anybody who rejects him. Therefore, remember, the Ramban wants to explain many of the mitzvot in Torah. So he says, therefore, Yitzavah Otanu, God commanded us, Shenaaseh tamid zikaron va'ot la'asher ra'u'inen. We have to make and find ways to commemorate all that we saw with our eyes. We have to remember it. And not only do we have to remember it, we have to pass it on from generation to generation. and he's going to describe so many mitzvahs in Torah that are zecher liyitziyat Mitzrayim, a commemoration, something by which we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. We turn the miracles of Egypt into history. It becomes history. It becomes part and parcel of our very being. And the point is, so that those miracles are alive for us today as they always were. I would say maybe that's the pshat in the Haggadah. We say the Chol Torah V'Torah, every generation a person is supposed to see himself as though he went out of Egypt. It means in every generation I'm to re-experience it all. I can see before my very eyes, Dan Tzadeh, Akinim, Orov, Deva, the works, because it has been transmitted faithfully from generation to generation. We should transmit it to our children, Ubineyam the name of their children to their children, Ubineyam the Dor Acharon and their children to the latter generation. By the way, it is a bit amazing that we have been able to maintain this tradition now for 3,500 years. And now he's going to explain something. I was going to ask it last week, but I didn't. But here he explains it. The Shem Yishmuel last week said, what was it that was the smut, the merit of the Jewish people that they should go out of Egypt? He said there were two mitzvahs that they would give. The mitzvah of Milah, circumcision, and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Now you should know, there's something unique about those two mitzvahs. Those two mitzvot are the only positive commandments. By the way, you have to understand, for most negative commandments, one who transgresses a negative commandment, there is some form of punishment. Not fulfilling the positive commandment, there is no punishment stated in Torah. There are only two of the 248 positive commandments, only two positive commandments for which there's punishment if one does not fulfill them. And they are Korban Pesach and Brit Milah. So the Ramban is saying, because these two mitzvahs, their significance is that they bring to mind everything that took place in Egypt. And that is a fundamental principle of all of Yahdut, because it establishes with us the idea that God exists. He created the world. He has divine providence. He knows everything that's happening. He's involved in history. He can do whatever he wants to do, and that he communicates with men. All of these are being, that's really having summed up all of the 13 articles of the faith. So therefore he says, V'hichmi v'opin and azeh, k'mo shechayev korez v'achilak matzah u'bazibat ha'pesach. He doesn't mention it. I added the other one, Brit Milah. Brit Milah, also, one who eats chametz, one doesn't bring the Korban Pesach. One doesn't circumcise himself. Those are positive commandments for, Achilat chametz is a lo saseh. Azivat ha-pesach is the positive commandment. I'm telling you, Brit Milah also, they are a punishment of karet. Karet means a person dies young. God went even further. He said that we have to write the story of Egypt and all the great miracles and put it on our arms and between our eyes. And also to put it on the front door in a mezuzah. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Now, why come back to it? There's a question over here. How many parshiot of the Torah are written in a mezuzah?
Two.
Two. Shema and V'hoyon Shema. In Tefillin,
four.
You have Shema, V'hoyon Shema, now, in the Tefillin, well, let's start with the mezuzah. Simple question. What's the Ramban talking about? Where in the first two parashiyot of Shema does it say anything about miracles? Where does it say anything about miracles in the first two parashat of Shema? When we, in the morning and in the evening, when we read Kriya Shema, we read a third parasha. And the third parasha of Tzitzis, it says, Amantiskeru, well, what does it say? It's Yat Mitzchayim. And the reason why we say the third parasha of Shema is because it has in it Yitzhak Mitzchayim. Never remember the most simple things when you have to when you have to quote them. Right at the end of Shema. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hokseiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim. L'yod l'chem l'olukim, ani Hashem Elokeichem. What's the Ramban talking about? The Ramban says we're supposed to write it on our mezuzot. Well, what do we write on our mezuzot? Do we write anything that has to do with the miracles and the signs? I'm talking about Tim of Mitzrayim. Let's go a little further. He's going to get a little poetic. Right. Also to write it on the entrance to your houses in the Zuzot. We're supposed to say Shema in the morning and the evening so that we, again, Yitziyat Mitzchayim, Otot, Umotim, signs, miracles, Kamosha Amru, as the Gemara says, Emet V'yatziv V'yoraita, in the morning when we say, Emet V'yatziv V'nachom V'kayom V'yoshor, it's all true. All of those miracles happen. That's a mitzvah Torah. How do we know it? Because there's a pasuk that says, L'man tizkor et yom tzeitcham eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecho, in order that you should remember the day that you went out of Egypt all the days of your life. We should make a sukkah. He's listing all of the mitzvot that are related and are reminders of Yitzhak Mitzvah, the great miracles. And we keep telling this and transmitting it from generation to generation. The chen kol kiyos ben mitzvot rabot, there are so many similar mitzvot. Zeichel Yitzhak Mitzvah, Zeichel Yitzhak, a commemoration of the Exodus region. Bakol. The reason for it all, remember, he started saying that I'm going to explain to you the meaning of many mitzvot. L'hiyot lanu b'chol hadorot eidut tamoftin shalom yishtaklu. We bear testimony about those great miracles so that they should not be forgotten. V'lo yet pitchom pe lakope l'hakrish adunato elikim. So that one who rejects God should not be able to open his mouth. And look what he repeats now. Ki hakone mezuzah. I like that. I really like it. I'm getting a little poetic over that. You buy a mezuzah for one zuz, you know? You know what a zuz is, you know? There's a father who bought the little gagya for one zuz, you know? Gagya. You buy a mezuzah for one zuz. The cover of the pitchon, he puts it on his door. And he has in mind what it means. Farhoda, you know what he's done? He has already made a statement, b'chidush ha'olam, that the world is new and created, and that God, upi yitiyat ha'toreh, and that God knows, v'hashgach ha'tol, and his divine providence. So what do we do with this Ramadan? Fascinating Ramadan. So I'll tell you a story. I went for a walk yesterday, and I found out about the Ramadan, about the Ramadan in the Zuzah. You know, Yerushalayim is a fascinating place. And then Har Nof is one of the fascinating places. Here is next door to the shul, my shul in Har Nof, so a son-in-law of another Minsk cadet. Another Minsk cadet in the United States is now the head of the Moetzet Gedolei HaTorah. He stands at the top of the pyramid of Haredi Orthodox Jewry. We know each other. Yeah, we know each other. Anyway, here it is. Of all strange things, I had written him a letter and I prepared a gift, a sefer. Then I get into my car and I'm driving out and I see the vendor walking along the street. So, turn my car around, get out of the car, and I go say hello to the vendor. We had been together in Kiddush on Shabbos and I heard somebody tell him, what you said about the Ramban and the Zuzah was very good. So I asked the Rebbe, I'm going to give a shiur tomorrow on this Ramban. If somebody's going to ask me, what does the Zuzah have to do with the miracles and the signs, tell me. You know, I'm going to have to be honest that it's a
It's a problem that the question that has been asked, and I'll have no answer. But anyways, the Rebbe told me what he said. In order to understand what he said, just turn over on a certain side, line number four, item four. This is from Parashat Ekev, the Sefer Devarim. And this is the second parasha of Shema. Now the second parasha of Shema does appear in the mezuzah, because the mitzvah of mezuzah is written in the first parasha and in the second parasha. And those two parashot are therefore written into the mezuzah. So it says, "V'chav tama mezuzot beitaku l'sherecha, leman yirbu yimeichem v'meiveneichem, al v'adama, asher nizbar Hashem v'avotechem v'atem v'am kibir Hashem v'amor." You should write them on the mezuzahs of your doors and your gates, in order that you should have lengthened of days, you and your children, upon the land that I've sworn to give to your fathers, and I'm going to give it to them, and your days will be as long as the days of heaven and earth. Kiyum shomor tishmunun et kol ha-mitzvah hazot, if you keep all of these mitzvot, asher anochi mitzaveh etkem la'asotah, la'avot Hashem l'kev l'hem l'hold it all the way. The Baal HaTurim says, u'chetav tamah mezuzot beitecho, you should write them on the mezuzot of your house. The Samech Lei, Leman Yirbu. What's the passage that comes immediately after, and you shall write it upon the doorposts of your house? It says, so that your days shall be many. Shalidei HaMezuzah, Lo Yavo HaMashchit El Batechem. Because through the mezuzah, Lo Yavo HaMashchit El Batechem, the destroyer will not be able to come into your house. The Sonachlay, and it says near it, next pasuk, Im Shamor Tishmun, that God is going to watch over you. The Baal HaTurim is taking the position, and there's Rashi, Tosfos, and many others that say that the mezuzah is something which protects us. But that said, what's fascinating is, here is a Baal HaTurim who may have used the term that he uses, just as the poetic license. What pasuk did the Baal HaTurim say? What did he bring the Somakli to my Yirgo? You see what's on the line? Shalidei HaMezuzah, Lo Yavro HaMashchit El Boteichem. Through the mezuzah, the destroyer will not come into your house. It's a play on words. Where is that pasuk? It's in this week's Sedra. And this week's Sefer says you should put the blood on your doorposts, so that the destroyer shall not come into your house. So the Rebbe said, maybe the Baal HaTurim is not simply using a turn of a phrase. You know what the Baal HaTurim is saying? The function of the blood on the doorposts in Egypt is taken by the mezuzah. The mezuzah comes in the place of the door, of the blood on the doorpost. Or if that's what the Baal HaTurim is saying, then you know what the mezuzah is? The night of the Exodus. The mezuzah represents the Yitziat Mitzrayim, in fact. Now, when I accosted the Rebbe on the street, so he says to me, I know why you want to know what I said. You want the Tzion Yishapar. Because there was a Tzion Yishapar on it. The Rebbe ended his remarks by saying, Leman Yirbu Yimechem, the mezuzah is a guarantee of long life where? Al-Vadama, on the land. So he said, you who live in Eretz Yisrael, you have a bayit, you have a house. We who live in Chutz Lutzlaretz, and not do homeless in. We're homeless. Let's help me to this. I said, yeah, you know, I did want to hear the Zionist part of it, but it's nothing to be ashamed of, it's okay. But I wanted to know the chat in the system. I said, this is how he explains the Ramban, which is really, I must say, quite good. That the mezuzah takes the place of the dam that was on the doorpost, the blood that was on the doorpost the night of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. If so, that it's quite clear that mezuzah fits in with all of those mitzvahs, and out of that, it may be even more apt than the others. And that's why the Rambam, elaborates on mezuzah more than he does about tefillin or sukkah. That's why he talks about the mezuzah. You buy the mezuzah and you put it up on your house, and you have in mind what the real kavana is, that this takes the place of the blood. Shalom yavo ha-mashchit el batechem, that the destroyer shall not come into your house. All we have to do is be zeichah. We have to be zeichah to lo yavo ha-mashchit el batechem. There are mashchitim all over that want to come in, and some who do make it in, and never we suffer from that. All right, back to the Rambam. Great, this is one thing about the Rambam. You can walk the streets of the line and just pick up Torah. Yes. Because of the Chagadja, so in other words, so to relate it, in other words, to, by using the Zuz, he's also relating it to Yitzhak Yitzchak. Very good. Very good. You're Mahol. Because the Rambam understands that the Zuz, anybody's going to stop and ask, what does the Zuz have to do with Yitzhak Yitzchak? I'm going to the Zuz of the Zuz. Very good. All right, let's go a little further. By the way, you know, you think that we've learned a great deal so far. We haven't come to the most amazing statement of the Rambam yet. You'll see. Oh, this is very good.
Where are we up to?
24. Well, aren't those numbers important? 24. The Rambam Nevuah. It also, the mezuzah also, and all the mitzvahs. They confirm the idea that there's prophecy. Ve'hemin b'chol pinot ha-Torah milvad she'ahodeh she'chesed ha-boreh godom. In addition to the fact that one is making a statement about God and His divinity, he's also giving thanksgiving to God for the great chesed, the great kindness. Al osei yitzono, for those who do His will, shal tzionu. May Oto Avdut, he took us out from that slavery, Lechenu, to freedom. Kovod Gadol, Neschut Avotehem, Achapetze Birach Shemal, and what great honor this is for their fathers, our fathers, their fathers, those who were in Egypt, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, Lefichach Amru. Therefore, our rabbi said, I have absorbed in mitzvah kalor, Kibbechamura, be very careful about what seems to be a very light, simple mitzvah, because kulam chamutot v'chavidot nod, all mitzvahs are beloved and desirable. So the whole short of Rodem Hen will come, because every moment you have a mezuzah on the door, you are thanking God every moment for the great kindness that He did to us 3,500 years ago. And more than that, the kavanat kol mitzvot, the intention of all mitzvot is shenam and delokenu. All mitzvot have as their purpose that we should believe in God, v'nodei Elav, and thank Him, shehu b'ra'am, that He created us. V'hi kavanas ha-yitzira, that was the whole purpose of creation, that we should express our thanks to God for having created us. Shein lo mutam acha v'yitzira v'shama, there is no other way to explain the original creation of man. It says the whole purpose of creation was God has no need for man except to bring into being a human being who understands what kindness of God means and to be able to thank Him. And we should have the kavanah of lifting our voices in prayers, the kavanah of bateyak nesiot. The idea that we come to shul and we thank and we praise God. Uzchut tefilat ha-rabin, the prayer, community prayer. Zehu sheyiyeh levnei odam makom yiskapsu, the purpose of a shul is in a place where people gather the yodel or kale and they thank God shebera'om, that He created them, v'himtzion, and He brought them into being. Farsim uzeh, you have to let this be known, V'yomu l'fanav, you know we say what they say in the morning. V'niotecha anachnu, we are your preachers. V'yikru elokim v'chosko, call out to God with great strength. Mikana talome, from here you learn, she tfilo tzricha kol. Tfilo requires that you have to say it out. Katsifo notzach l'disha. Katsifo notzach l'disha is a term that means when you have a little chutzpah goes a long way and is victorious over evil. The chutzpah that he's talking about over here is to say to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, thank God. Of course, in the next breath, he's saying, you did so many great things for us in the past. We need you now, and we need you very badly. Now comes most probably the most fascinating part of the Rambam, and this is going to bring us into a subject that we're going to have to deal with at greater length, but listen, no rush, no worry. Umin hanisim hagedolim hamafursamim odom modeh benisim hanistodim shehen yisod haTorah kula. He's making a very strong statement. God never wanted the world to be conducted through great miracles. He created nature. And what we have to learn is, what's the nature of nature? What's nature all about? Well, for that matter, we may even ask a better thing, question. Is there really such a thing as nature? Or is nature nothing more than an ongoing series of miracles, unending, the kind of miracles that we have become accustomed to? There are two kinds of miracles. There are the miracles that go beyond nature. And then there's the miracle of nature itself. I once described this as a shiur about the nature of miracles, and then there are the ongoing miracles of nature. Dolly Yisrael, Jewish philosophers throughout the ages have referred to nature not as something that runs by itself. It doesn't run by itself. We say it in Dominic, everyone. Hamechadeish b'chukov, the whole young tongue is vastly gracious. God renews creation every moment. It is only His will that keeps everything going. Which means that creation is taking place every moment, every second. It means, therefore, as the Ramban says, the whole purpose of all of those great miracles of Mitzrayim, and whenever else there were miracles to bring people, it was only in order to bring to one's attention that beneath the surface, the whole world is miracle. Again, umin anisim hagedolim hamafursamim, from the great and well-known miracles of the modev anisim hamistonim, man comes to know the hidden miracles, saying, sod haTorah kula, quite a statement, they are the foundation of all of Torah. Listen to the next sentence. I don't think anybody has ever formulated it in a way that the Ramban has. Shein odom chelek v'torach Moshe Rabbeinu, a person doesn't have a share or a part in the Torah of Moshe, ar shenamin v'chol devoreinu umikreinu, until we believe that everything about us and anything that happens to us, kulam nisim, they're all miracles. Ein b'hem teva, there is no such thing as nature. Umin hagol shel olam, or something that, this is the way the world goes. Bein b'chavim bein b'yach, regardless of talking about the community or the individual. There's nothing that's just plain nature by itself. There's no such thing as plain nature. It's all miracle. It's all Hashgacha Pratis. And what does he base this? He bases this. Take a look. And this, the Ramban, it's a theme in the Ramban. He says it about four or five other places in Chumash. We say in the second chapter of Shema, if you will listen to God, and you will do all of his mitzvahs, I will send rain in its time. If you're not going to do the mitzvahs, then I will withhold the rains. Now, is there anything natural about the idea that our performance of mitzvahs brings rain? What's so natural about that? That isn't miraculous. And if we're not going to perform mitzvahs, the heavens will not bring down rain. This is all miracle. We say it every day. Twice, three times a day, we say it. And we have to internalize what we're saying. What we're saying is that everything is miracle. The number of occasions I've quoted of Soloveitchik, and one of Shurin wrote, rain in Eretz Yisrael, rain in Eretz Yisrael is a direct communication from God. A direct communication from God. You have to be aware of that. If it rains, we're being told something. If it doesn't rain, we're also being told something. Something not as pleasant. Not as pleasant. Because there's no such thing as nature. There is nothing that can be called nature. Elohim yasa ha-mitzvahs, the Ramban goes on to say, if you do mitzvahs, yapslichan u'scharau, reward is that a person will be successful. V'mi'avra alayim, and if one is going to transgress, yachin sen u'onsho, punishment will destroy you. Hakol b'tzeiras eyom, everything is a decree from high. Kashi iskarati Torah, as I've already mentioned in a number of places, personal, anisim, and studying, being an haravim, kashi avod, being yudea Torah, being an abrochus haklolos. He now says, all of the brochus and klolos that we're going to come to in Parashat B'chukotan and in Parashat Kitavo, they're talking about nisim nistodim. If we're not going to do what we should be doing, all sorts of terrible things will befall us. Moshe Amar HaKosov, as the Pasuk says, V'omru kol ha'goyim, all of the nations will say this, the Pasuk later on, I believe in Hazinu, Amar os Hashem kochol oretz hazos, why did God do this? No, the goyim will realize that if something goes wrong here, this is an act of God. V'omru al asher ozvu, because they forsook Brit Hashem ulkei avoteichem. Everything is miracles. Everything depends on us. She parasem hadova l'kol ha'umot, comes known to all of the nations, Shehuviyet Hashem Ba'onsham, that it comes from God. V'omar b'kiyum, when Jews fulfill mitzvahs, it says, V'roh chol amei oretz, all of the nations of the world will see, Ki shem Hashem nigro lecha, that the name of God is called upon you, v'yoru mimecha, and they will fear you, v'od afarei zeh bezat Hashem. All right. Don't turn over to the second side yet. Don't turn over. The second side is an unbelievable Meshech Chochma in Parashat Chukotai. I'm not yet going to go to the Meshech Chochma because I'm always very careful. Either I'm done with Meshech Chochma. I don't want to. It has to be studied carefully. But I do want to tell you another fascinating idea that I saw recently. And there it is, you know, the first Rashi in Chumash. How many times have I told you that you have to know that Rashi? If somebody's going to wake you up in the middle of the night, you should be able to say the Rashi by heart. If anybody has learned anything by me, they've learned about the first Rashi. Now, we're not talking about any political ramifications of the first Rashi. We're talking about the religious ramifications. What is the first Rashi? And by the way, the first Rashi is related to this mitzvah. First Rashi says, "Om Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo ha yotzorech la'afkilat ha-Torah, elo me'ha-kodesh ha-zeh-lochem, shehim mitzvah yishonesh and itzavu boi Yisrael." Torah should have begun. Torah is a book of legislation. It should have begun with the first mitzvah. Which is the first mitzvah? This month shall be unto you the first of months. Where does that mitzvah appear? That mitzvah appears in Parashat Bo. Matan. Pasach b'Bereshit. Why does Torah begin with Bereshit? So Rashi answers, Mishum Korach Masav Hibid La'amo. God tells his people the strength of his acts. Vatet lehem nachal adoyim, to give them an inheritance of nations. The nations of the world will say to Israel, "Listen, Matem, you are thieves. Shekevashtem arts of Shiva Amim, that you conquered your Goshen, your occupiers of the land of the seven nations. Hey, Momin Lehem, Israel will say to them, Kol Arat Shemakovish Baruch Hu, He, the whole world belongs to the Holy One, blessed be He. Who Bera, He created it. Unetana l'asher yoshav yera, when he gave it to the one who found favor in his eyes. Beritzono, it was his will. Nitna lehem, it was given to them. And beritzono, it was his will that he took it from them. Netolomim, netana l'anu, when he gave it to us. Right, this is the famous first Rashi. So one of the questions that everybody asks on the Rashi, you know, we're going to come to the United Nations. Oh, we're going to tell the British or the French whose anti-Semitism is, you know, I tell you, it's back to the days of Dreyfus. Nothing has changed since Dreyfus. I tell you, I don't think we have a friend in the world, except maybe, I'm not sure, maybe Bushes. I don't know. It's unbelievable. Don't we? I'll tell you, we're living in very, very unusual times. Oh, nation that dwells alone. Oh, I remember crying out when two gentlemen, members of the government some years ago, said, Lo ol am levodad yishkon. No longer will we be a people who dwells alone. God, what a mistake, Shimon Peres made. What a mistake. He thinks that he is going to do away with the pasuk in Torah, lo ol, we are no longer going to be a people that dwells alone. Oh, are we a people that dwells alone? Then the truth is, it's a lot better dwelling alone. I mean, I'm not interested, you know, family, you can't choose family, but you know, if you could choose family, I wouldn't choose the nations of the world. I mean, you know, yeah, better family than that. All right. So what does Rashi mean? We're going to tell the nations of the world, listen, we're not occupiers. Rabbis on the West Bank, if they give chuppah kedusha, that's illegal marriage. You have to be such an anti-Semite to come up with something like that. You know, that's brilliant. Even if Quebec Linda. Understand. That's a new law in anti-Semitism. We have to make sure that all rabbis living in the West Bank should have two addresses. You understand? We'll give them an address inside Israel. All right, listen. What does it mean? We're going to tell them, listen, the world belongs to God. Yeah. He took it from them and he gave it to us. What do you want from them? That they're really going to be extremely, extremely impressed with this argument. So what does Rashi mean? So I saw the name of Rabbi Moshe Shapiro. Moshe Shapiro is one of the good Jews in Yerushalayim, who says, sure, he wants me to hear, or Samar. Nice idea that yet has to be developed. And in fact, you see a little bit of this idea in the Ramban at the beginning of Sefer Shemot. There's one big difference between Sefer Bereshit and Sefer Shemot. The book of Shemot is punctuated with miracles. Punctuated, more than punctuated. What are you talking about? Sefer Shemot is the book of miracles. Sefer Bereshit, which is the book of creation, Adam, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. No splitting of the Red Sea. No blood, frogs, anything else. Everything that takes place in Sefer Bereshit takes place within the context of nature. Within the context of nature. Bereshit, therefore, is the book of creation or nature. We know already what nature means. when we talk nature, this is a code word, as the Ramban would put it, a constant miracle. But we know the meaning of the code word now. We know what nature means. We know the nature of nature. And we know that the nature of nature are the miracles of nature. All right? So he says the following. He says that the nations of the world may come someday and claim to us, we're an otherworldly people. We're a people of great, great and outstanding miracles. People such as us, we're not rooted in land. We're not rooted in this earth. We're citizens of the whole universe. And another way of calling us the wandering Jew. Who has a place in land? To whom does land make a difference? People live within nature. But you're not nature. You're beyond nature. You're living in a world of great nifla, of great miracles. It's not for you to have land. So Rashi is saying the reason why Sefer Bereishit was written, and then Sefer Shemot, first comes the book of nature. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yitzchak plants, Avram has cattle, Yaakov is a shepherd. They're all living within the confines of nature. Shemot is the bridge. The whole purpose of Shemot is, and it's repeated in Shemot time and time again, in order that you return to the land. Klal Yisrael, when they return to the land, are going to be returning to the natural existence of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The purpose of Sefer Bereishis is to say that we are a people who live within and by nature. We may have a more sophisticated knowledge of what nature really is, but our lives are natural lives. And ultimately the greatness of the Jewish people is going to be accomplished through the home. Not by being homeless, but being by the home and building the home. And that's what all of Sefer Bereishis is about. So Rabbi Yitzchak says the purpose of having written Sefer Bereishit first before Sefer Shemot, in order to let us know that we are a people of nature who live within the bounds and the confines of nature. And if so, then we are entitled to a piece of land our own, just like anybody else. We are not the Luftmenschen, the ones who live, fly around the world and live on miracles. We don't live on miracles. The way we're supposed to, what God wants more than anything else is that we should live by the book of Nisim Nistorim, the concealed miracles that are found within nature. Because you have to remember, just as the Ramban had said that God is not going to perform miracles for every Rosho or Kofir or non-believer who's going to pop up throughout all of history, our great challenge is the challenge of seeing God within nature. It's easy to believe in God when there are miracles. It's not so easy to believe in Him. It takes the leap of faith or the ability to look deeper and see that God in fact exists. So that's the Sefer Bereishit has to precede Sefer Shemot. You can't start with HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem. If you start with HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem, then what you're saying is that the whole existence of the Jewish people is a miracle, or, by the way, it is a miracle. Make no mistake. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the introduction to his siddur, says, I swear to you, by the way, that's going to prove exactly our point. He says, I swear to you that the survival of the Jewish people is greater than all the miracles in Egypt. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. Now, it means, when we see all of nature as being constant series of miracles, so yes, it may not be those nisim v'niflaot, but it is the nisim of that God has built into nature. What built it? Because we said He's mechadesh, He brought it into being. He knows, He has the ability, and His divine providence is over. We would not have survived. The truth is, when you sit down to think about it, it's amazing that we're around. We've caught We cause so much aggravation to the poor nations of the world. What did he, was it the French ambassador who said in London? It's all because of that dashing little, Israel, all of that dashing little country, all of these sodas. I tell you, the world would be so much better off without us. It's such a great thing. The fact that we exist, we aggravate the kishkes out of that. We haven't sang so much, I'm not aggravating them. Another few minutes, and I'm just going to introduce you to what will be coming next week. There's so much to talk about miracles and nature. It will probably be a whole series of Shiurim, but the miracles continue into Peshawar. The fact is that they're going to continue to the 40 years in the desert. Jews are going to eat bread from heaven. Water is going to come out from Iraq. Just about 10 lines, and this is a Meshachok, the very first Meshachok in Parashat Bechukotai. If you talk to people and you tell them about a Meshachok in Bechukotai, everybody thinks of the Meshachokma at the end of the Bechukotai, where he says that Jews will reach a point when they will think that Berlin, Berlin is Jerusalem. That's an amazing historic analysis. We learned that a few years ago. But there's a great Meshachokma at the beginning of the Bechukotai. I'm just going to start, so you'll get the general idea. Gemara says, "Rain, v'natati gishmeichem be'ikam." I will give you rain in its proper time. The Gemara says, the Torah Gan says, B'leilei Shabbosar, Shabbat, come down on Friday night. Friday night is the best time for rain. That's of course, assuming that you're not a rabbi who has a Shalom Zohar to go to about 2 miles down the road and it's boring. All right, so we're talking about a Friday night. There are some without I don't know. I hope nobody ever noticed that I'm so much happier when somebody calls me and says my wife had a baby girl. But all right, over the years I've gotten used to it. I know already. I can even enjoy boys. But listen, it says that it's supposed to rain. Friday night is a good time for it to rain. And the Gemara says a story that took place in the days of Shimon and Shaddai. And in the days of Shlom Tzion Hamalka, Shlom Tzion, the queen, was the sister of Rav Shimon ben Shaddai. So Yishom Yordim in Leilei Shabbat, rain pour came down every Friday night. Achenasu Chitim Kikloyes, the grains of wheat became as large as kidneys. Usaorim and barley kigar inei zeitim, like the the pits. Vadashim and beans were kedinrei zohav, like a dinar of gold. V'tzoru mehem chachamim v'inichum v'torat haborim. The chachamim went and they hid them away, preserved them, so that future generations should be able to see what happened then. Lahudia, in order to tell us kama chayv goren. What sin can do. In other words, without sin, we would have rain coming down over here. Oh. First of all, it would be the Leilei Shabbat, and enough will come down. So that the... By the way, I remember the last time we had... When was the last time we had a winter that was...
92.
The winter after the Gulf War. They said then that flowers that had not been seen for 100 years in Eretz Yisrael were growing all over the country. Waters were...
They opened the canary.
Yeah, the canary water in the desert was overflowing. Could be, you know, if Bush starts doing things quickly, it might yet be, maybe this winter yet will... No chance? Why does the war have to wait till after we go to the polls? I don't know. You see, Klal Yisrael Pashut is holding the whole world in suspense. So he says, "Vahodi ani olad alekino kama hachet garam kama sin chosu shenema v'chaposei kamon v'atok mikem your sins are that which have withheld good from you." And hogo hanisit he ain't not fakmitid. That's it. And hogo hanisit, running the world by miracles, ain't not fakmitid, is not the goal and the objective of this world. That's the statement that the Meshech Chochmah makes, and he's going to explain it, and a lot of parts of davening are going to be understood by us as a result of this Meshech Chochmah. What he's really saying is exactly what the Ramban said at the end of this great piece that we learned. Min ha-nisim ha-gluyim, from the great nisim that I will foresaw in, we learn that the whole world is nisim, is starting concealed miracles. In a sense, we once discussed this, goes back years. There are two words, and we'll elaborate on it in Yetz Hashem next week. There are two words that we usually use, and sometimes we use them interchangeably and shouldn't be so. Nes and Pele. And that's going to be, that will emerge out of next week's parsha. Nes is a miracle. The truth is, Nes. When we talk about nace really comes from the word nace, nistar. Nace, the Hebrew word nace, really means that which is in concealment. What is a miracle that goes beyond the bounds of nature? That's called a pele. Pele. Niflaot. Unbelievable niflaot. My only claim to have been a candidate possible to be a heber. Because it occurred to me, what's the numerical? I never, you know, I never work with the gematria. You always, you know that, you know your name. What's the gematria, the value of nes? Nes, a nun is 50 and a samach is 60. That's what? 110. Pele, 80 and 30 is? And the aleph? 111. That means, first of all, what's the difference between Nes and Pele? In Pele, the Aleph of Echad, God, is seen clearly. In Nes, he is concealed. Nes is concealed within Pele. It's just the difference whether you see God clearly, or you have to discern, or you have to be able to see him. If you know how to look, if your religious vision is good, you can see him in each and every nes. That's really all of it. We say it in davening. We thank God on the Sabbath and the Sabbath that you do with us each and every day. Everything is nes. What are you talking about now? The birth of a child. A miracle. What do you mean a miracle? Of course it's a miracle. You breathe every minute, it's a miracle. All right, listen. Hamsheikh Yahoo.